Today we are going to be talking about a core value of West Valley, which is intentional faith development, which means that in order to grow closer to Christ, we need to make some important choices. So we'll be talking about that. We will be praising the Lord who is in our midst this morning. We will be thanking him for his blessings. We will be engaging in passionate worship, which we talked about last week. We will be thanking God for all he has done for us. We welcome all of you. We're so glad you're here.
Let's pray together. Oh Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness today and your steadfast love. We're grateful that you forgive us and that you walk for us even through valleys and that you can be counted on to see us through any circumstance. We praise you that you have revealed yourself to us in Jesus Christ and that nothing is impossible with you. We thank you that we are your children and that you know us by name, that the hairs on our head are numbered and that every detail of our lives is known to you. Sometimes our hearts are broken by events that are so contrary to the world you desire for us. This past Sunday, we were devastated when we received news of the massacre in Las Vegas. Some in our congregation knew people who were there. Oh Lord, we lift up the families and the people who were affected, and we pray that you comfort, you courage, and your strength be with them. Thank you for all the people who are reaching out and for the churches too in that place who are banding together to support those in need. May we lend our support in whatever way we can. We pray also for those who are still dealing with the aftermath of the earthquake in Mexico and the hurricanes Harvey, Irma, and Maria. We pray for those who are affected by Nate near New Orleans. In our own congregation, we think of our dear sister Brenda Gibbs, who lost Brenda's mother on Saturday. May you be with her family and comfort her during this difficult time. Lord, we are grateful that we can serve you right where we are. We thank you that you would bless us this morning as we pray for prepare for service worship and serve our community on October 29th. There are many projects and many who are volunteering. Be with those who serve so faithfully at City Team, Teen Challenge, West Valley Community Services, and Adopted Chaplain, as well as hospitals and nursing homes who we also support. We thank you for this outlay of compassion and help from our volunteers. May Jesus be glorified in all that we do. And we think about international faith development today, one of the core values here at our church. And we pray that you also would do everything that we can to be intentional about growing in our faith, to seek you first above all else, and to always be ready to share your truth with others. May we learn all we can about you and do everything we can to grow as Christians. Help us to make you the help us to make the choices we need to make each day with integrity, choices that will draw us closer to you, not farther away. We pray, Lord, for all of our leaders, both in the church and the Cupertino community and in our country and in the world. Give them wisdom and discernment. May we as a church be your shining light in the dark world and witnesses to the truth that no matter how dark the night gets, your light shines brighter than the darkness and overcomes evil with good. We trust you and we thank you, and now we pray the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
The scripture this morning, the first one comes from Psalm 27:4. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in the temple. And Matthew 13:44-46. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. And Philippians 3, 7, and 8, and verse 12. But whatever was to mine profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Whatever is more, I consider everything a loss, compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. Now that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold for that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me.
Thank you, Maggie. In order to grow as Christians, there are certain things we need to do. So as you watch the next part of this service, see if anything comes to mind. You've seen that to be a Christian, we must be in community, we must pray, we must read scripture. These are the choices that we make. Thank you so much. Let's give them a hand. Janet is starting a new movement type choir, and if you're interested, please let her know and being involved in that. Let us pray together. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Ah, wasn't that fun? That was intentional. I had a teacher once in my very rowdy third grade class that used to do that to get everyone's attention, and it worked every time. So maybe I got your attention too, but that's not why I had them turn the lights on and off this morning. I wanted to make a point with you about intentional faith development, which is number 4 in our 5 core values here at West Valley that we're working through. What I want you to remember through the on-again, off-again light switch event is this. Faith is not like a light switch that is either on or off. Faith is a journey with God, and we are either moving forward in our faith or we're sliding backward bit by bit. Okay? So when you think of the light switch, that's what I want you to remember. Faith, this intentional faith development is not like the on and off of a light switch. And sometimes the backward slide for us is so subtle, we don't even realize it's happening. It's kind of like the old idea of putting the lobster, the crab in a pot of cold water because they don't climb out, and gradually you're heating up the pot and they don't realize that it's getting warmer, so they stay there. I know that's kind of not a very nice illustration, but it's something that we use to express how gradually things can happen, and as they're happening gradually, we don't always realize what's going on. So as Christians, we're not static entities. We're either moving closer to Jesus Christ or we're moving further away. So it's very important for our spiritual health that we engage in things that develop us as Christians. And we must intentionally choose these things. Otherwise, what's going to happen? With the busyness of life, we're just not going to do them. One of the ways we grow spiritually is in groups where we can stay in step with God's Spirit and work in our lives. And these groups, might be Bible studies or mission groups where Scripture is used to inform and stretch us. I thought it was great in this depiction here, a picture's worth a thousand words, how the Bible was so central in what was presented. And so small group, being in a small group, being in a smaller community is very different than coming here to worship. The sanctuary is a big room. We want you to feel welcome. It's where you come every Sunday. Now, I grew up in a big faculty home. My father was a professor, and everyone who we didn't know very well would come in the front door. It was an old historic home with fireplaces in every room and big doors that opened out. And everyone we didn't know too well who was visiting us for the first time, guess what door they used to come and visit us? Through the front door they would come. You know, that's and the front door would lead into this beautiful living room. And that's where people would be entertained, right? My mother would entertain people and they would come through the front door. But the people we did know well, guess what door they came in? They came in the side door, and the side door led into the kitchen, which also had a big fireplace in it. But the central focus of the kitchen was the kitchen table, and they would sit around with us at the kitchen table, and that's where the real conversations happened. That's where we would share life together. That's when people opened up and they would share. And since we were on a seminary campus, many of the people had spiritual questions. There were tears, there were prayers. I remember that happening, but it was at the kitchen table through the side door where the real conversations occurred. And that's kind of how I see the church. When you come into worship, you're in the living room, you're in the parlor, you've come through the big doors. Everyone is welcome, but we don't know everyone too well yet. Some of you know each other well, some of you don't. And the more personal conversations, prayers, and concerns, the knowing one another happens during the week around tables, in circles, in chairs, in homes, as we pray together and share together, do ministry together. This is where spiritual growth happens. And we invite you, if you're not already signed up, to join a small group. We're trying to start some new ones, and we will. There's a special form I put out at the Welcome Center for you today. So if you want to be in one of these smaller groups, if you want to be around a kitchen table and share life with others, fill out that form and I personally will get in touch with you. All right. So now the next thing I'm going to say is to a certain segment of you, and that's those of you who are very involved here. And you know who you are. Let me just be clear that being involved in a flurry of church activity does not necessarily mean you're growing spiritually. It could just mean you're just getting burnt out, okay? And one of the things I say all the time is that the church is a service station where we serve, but it's also a filling station where we need to be filled up inside. It is both things, and you can't give out all the time, right? Go, go, go. Do this, do that. Do this program, do that. Oh, my gosh, right? You will run out of gas. You need to be filled. You need to receive. So ask yourself, if you are someone who is very involved here, ask yourself that. And then if that's the case, ask yourself, where in what I am doing am I growing spiritually? What feeds me? Where am I getting inspired in all that I am doing? What of what I am doing is making me feel closer to God, is making me feel closer to Jesus Christ? As we begin to put growing in Christ first in our lives, the challenge for many of us is that there are just so many things that infringe on our time. We are pulled this way and that. This is why the word intentional is in this core value. We must make a choice to put our spiritual growth at the top of our priority list. And what does Jesus say will happen when we do this? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything will fall apart because you're not so busy. And all these other things will be added to you as well. I heard a story about a man who meets a woman at a party, and he's stunned by her beauty, and he thinks to himself, oh, I cannot let this woman get away. I've got to figure out some way to create a connection with her. So he says to her, you know, I may not look like much, but my father is a very wealthy man, and he's in bad health. He's an old guy. He's not going to live more than 2 years at the outside. And when he dies, I will be worth $50 million. And you can tell the woman is impressed. And she asks for his business card. And 3 days later, he gets a note that she is now his stepmother. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is kind of like that. What do I mean by saying this? What I mean when I say this is that this woman will do anything she can to get at a treasure that is so great that she's willing to sacrifice anything for it. This is an opportunity of a lifetime, she thinks. I'll just do anything. Anything at all that lets me get a hold of this one thing that I absolutely have to have. And she's intentional and she's determined. The scripture this morning talks about someone who finds a treasure in a field. He's overjoyed, and he sells everything he has to buy it. He wants it so badly. Ever wanted anything so badly? You just had to have it? This man will do anything to get it. This pearl of great price also that we read about today is the opportunity of a lifetime. Everything is sold to obtain it. The psalm we read said in the middle of it, this one thing I have desired of the Lord, and this one thing I will seek after. Not 10 things or 15 things am I meant to seek after, but one thing and one thing only is what I seek after. And that one thing is to grow, to know the Lord and stay in his presence. Isn't it hard today to just focus on one thing? Most of us are constantly multitasking. I know I am often. And we're spread thin with multiple things happening that we are attending to all the time. We are almost forced into this way of life. And studies show actually that the human brain, so far anyway, is actually designed to only attend to one thing at a time. And studies also show that despite all the technology that allows us to do multiple things all at once, we're actually accomplishing less these days. Now, why would that be? Some people say it's because we aren't doing one thing really well. We're doing multiple things less well. They aren't enough, though. It's not good enough when we do too many things all the time, because we're doing all of them in a kind of mediocre, haphazard way. What if we focused on just one thing? What would that mean? And what if that one thing was getting to know Jesus Christ in a deeper, more profound way every day? This one thing I have sought after, says the psalmist, and that one thing is my relationship to God. I'm intentional about that. I make the choices to make that happen. And let me tell you that no matter how long you've been a Christian, there is still a next step to take in moving toward a deeper walk with God. All of us are called to take next steps. None of us have arrived at some idealistic place where we can just stay stagnant in our Christian walk, because there is no stagnant, right? We'll be slipping back. It doesn't work that way. We're either moving forward or backward. We're never stagnant. Dallas Willard says this: we can always grow more like Christ, Spiritual transformation is authentically possible through faith and grace if I am willing to arrange my life around the activities Jesus himself practiced in order to remain constantly at home. Constantly at home. I love that. In the fellowship of God. That's supposed to be our home. Fellowship with God. What did Jesus practice that connected him to God? Well, he would go out into the hills regularly, into creation. He would regularly pray alone, away from people, and then he would worship in the synagogue with people, just like we're here today. He would immerse his mind in the scriptures so they overflowed from him onto others. It just sort of came out of him because he knew them so well. He would engage in fellowship with his close friends and discuss spiritual things with them. He would give generously and live simply. He would engage in acts of service and compassion. Now, if Jesus felt like he needed to intentionally live with these lifestyle patterns to be connected to God as he was himself God, he was the Son of God, there's a good chance that I'm going to need to intentionally choose to do those things in my life that will connect me more deeply with God. But in order to make the choices I need to make to intentionally grow in my faith, I have to actually come to believe that Jesus was so right, that he was so smart, that his information about God and life and how to live was so much better than any available alternative, whoever else you might think about. Until I'm so convinced that this is so true about Jesus that I think to myself that I'd be a fool not to drop everything and pursue this one thing with everything I've got, I'm not going to make that choice because there are too many things pulling me in different directions. Dallas Willard says again this, "My central claim is that we can become like Christ. Spiritual transformation is possible by doing one thing, by following him in the overall style of life Jesus chose for himself." Now, I've shared with you before that I've had some very strong experiences in my life that have convinced me of Jesus' love for me, and it's changed me. And after these experiences that I've had of grace and utter blessing, and many of you have had these experiences too, you shared them with me, of God's presence, you've had experiences that have blessed you deeply. After these encounters with God, I remember thinking, there's nothing better than this. There's nothing better. Why do I go around focused on other things when this relationship to Christ is all that I should be pursuing? I think it ought to be the passion of my life. And that's how I think after I've had an experience of God's presence. This is it. This is the pearl of great price. I think the treasure in the field that I would sell anything to attain. And then, of course, after a while, right, the vision fades. And I get distracted with so many other things. So that means I have to be intentional about making choices that keep me on track, that I have patterns and ways of living that keep me focused on Jesus and my continuing need to grow in him. So what are some of these practices I can engage in? Before I tell you, let me just say this. Little caveat here, that all of this will look a little different for different people. We're not cookie cutter people. We have different ways of doing this. We have different temptations that we struggle with and different wiring patterns and so on. And the purpose of these spiritual practices also is never to earn brownie points with God. We're not doing this so that we can be better on our own strength or to show how spiritual we are and feel great about ourselves. The purpose of methods or disciplines or practices is freedom to just be able to do the right thing in the right way at the right moment, and in so doing, grow into the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ to become more like Christ. So here are some suggestions for you. I just want you to realize that this is that each of these spells grow Isn't that great? And so the first one is G, is get involved. If you're not already, get involved here in a small group Bible study, as well as join us for adult education after church. It's so important to be able to ask questions. I get up here and talk for 20 minutes, 25 minutes today. But, you know, ask your questions. Go to adult ed. Go deeper. Read scripture and pray daily. Just for time management purposes, it's worth it when you wake up on an ordinary day and begin your day with prayer and scripture. You will notice that you actually save time. All of a sudden, you have more time than you did before you started praying first. That's just the way it goes. And you're actually in a better place to deal with all that comes your way. You will also find after a while, as you begin your day with prayer, that doors start to open up for you, options present themselves, and circumstances work out. And over time, you begin to experience a deep peace in your soul as a result of meeting with God at the beginning of each day. And some people might do this at night, whatever works. One woman told me that when she wakes up in the morning, she makes the intentional choice not to let her feet touch the ground until she prays for 20 minutes. That's a choice. And she created this idea so that she's sure to do it, even if she doesn't feel like it. And then there's all kinds of apps for this. Of course, there has to be apps for this. There's the one-minute Bible devotional. Just 1 minute. All you have to do is download the app on your phone. 1 minute. Bible devotional. It's better than nothing, right? Start somewhere. Or miles a minute is a video. Wow, a video devotional for 1 minute you can watch in the morning if you don't want to read, if you want to watch a movie. Okay. Oh, organize and prioritize your life so that you can put first things first. And this is very difficult, I know, but it will make a huge difference in how you grow spiritually. So at the end of your pews, there's yellow cards. I want everybody to get a yellow card. Yellow card. Wake up, everyone. Yellow cards in the inside of your pews. On the back of those yellow prayer cards, I put extra ones in the pews. You can use them in the pew racks too. I want you to write down right now one thing that you are going to do, make an intentional choice to do, that will help you grow spiritually. Maybe it's to join a small group. Maybe it's to have a devotional in the morning and stick to it, or in the evening. Maybe you're doing all that, but maybe you need fellowship and encouragement with other Christians because you're isolated and alone and you need Christian friendship, and you're going to seek that out. I'd like you to write that down right now. And if you can't think of anything, you can pray about it. But sometimes it helps right in the service to write it down, because right now we're talking about it. And as you go out the door, all the busyness and everything is going to get to you. So if you can, just write it down right now, and then hold on to it. Put it in your Bible. Commit to doing this one thing, because wherever you are in your spiritual walk, we can always grow closer to Jesus Christ. And then finally, welcome God's interruption in your life, because once you start living in this way, God's going to kind of mess with you. And you're going to notice interruptions and things happening. And that's the scary part about all this. God loves us too much to keep us where we are. He will always move us forward as we open ourselves to him. And sometimes it comes in unexpected ways. So notice the surprises, the new people who come into your life, the doors that open, the other doors that shut, the opportunities for service, the new awareness of a need or concern you weren't noticing before, the tug on your heart from the Holy Spirit to go here, minister there, be a light, speak the truth, pray. Because all of this starts to happen when we make the intentional choice to develop in our faith and move toward intimacy with Jesus Christ. How many of you filled out the yellow card? Just hold it up if you filled it out. Okay. Some of you still need. Excellent. Hold on to that. Commit to doing that one thing. And know that God will move you closer to intimacy with Jesus as you practice it. Let's read from Philippians together those great words to close this message on intentional faith development. Let's read together. I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ, not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you so much for your mercy and grace that you would call us to be like you. And we well know with all our warts and foibles that we can never do this on our own unless you empower us by the Holy Spirit. We know it's not by power or by might, but by your Spirit. But allow us to will to make the choices that will allow us to grow closer to you, to walk in step with your Spirit, and to be open to your leading and guidance. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, and all God's people said, Amen. Go out in peace. Have courage. Hold on to that which is good. Return no person evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, honor everyone, love and serve the Lord. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.